You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Stop talking, Don. We're doing the introduction. Now, Don, this is some sort of a record. Beside this being our 200th episode that we have done together, Mick Sheehan was part of the early ones, but this is our 200th episode. We are creating history because we've had guests on once and some of them twice, but we've never had a guest on three times. And this is the third time a doctor... Is it doctor or professor or... I'm looking at you, Don. I'm not looking at the man...
Retired doctor.
Robbie Peterson. Yeah, no, Robbie Peterson has been on. And we've got him on primarily the first time we had him on because there was some chat about the COVID nonsense and the hoax and was it a hoax and where was it all headed with vaccines. And then we got him on the second time to confirm that it was a lot of controversy going on around the world about the vaccines and were they necessary, and Big Pharma was pushing it and a lot of people were ostracised in the medical profession for questioning it. And the third time he's in here today is he's going to say that he has been vindicated, and a lot of his profession, I assume he's going to say this, have been vindicated by all the new information and research coming out about it. Now, besides telling people who you are, Robbie, or doctor, or professor, or whatever you like to call her, you're an ex-North Melbourne footballer. You played a few games for them. I don't know how many. I can't remember. You're a star. And then you went into the medical profession, and this has gained another leg, this whole chat about the COVID and the vaccines and what's going on in the world we are discovering. How have I gone with any of that introduction?
Absolutely spot on, Sam. And... what happened 2 weeks ago, May the 3rd, in the European Parliament, we had the International COVID Summit. And people can actually go and look at this by going on to internationalcovidsummit.com. So you had, coming out of the European Parliament, a presentation by the elite medical specialists, the whole shebang.
Did they come to any conclusion, Robbie?
They came... They just.
I think he was going to say that, Don. That's why he was doing the preamble.
They did, and the stats and the science behind it was just enormous, and it was probably the greatest warning publicly to the world.
So, what was the warning, and what was the outcome?
Well, the warning was that the jabs have been clearly shown that the more you have, the greater risk you're going to get of getting COVID and the greater risk you're going to have of dying. And they've shown...
That's extraordinary. Hang on, that's just incredible, because they're promoting in Victoria, go and get your fourth or fifth jab.
Absolutely. And, you know, Australia, Canada and New Zealand, we are in a diabolical set of circumstances where the media, the government... And the information that they're putting to our...
Well, there's
citizens.
A lack of it now.
Well, it's a censorship. It's as simple as that. And the data's clear. What I mentioned, I think, the last time I was on, we spoke about the immune system and how it was damaged. Well, again, at this European Parliament summit, this is exactly what they said. And, look, I think what we're going to see this winter coming up here, right around Australia, I think we're going to see the hospital system absolutely under enormous pressure.
Okay, so they're saying that the vaccinations are breaking down your immune system. Now, that's logical, because I know of a fellow that hasn't had COVID and he's an anti-vaxxer. I know of people, and I know of one fellow very close to me, he's just gone through COVID and he's had his five injections, and he's now just coming out of it a day ago. So this is just incredible, isn't it?
It's frightening. And really, look, I mean, it's really interesting. The TGA, who are in charge of therapeutics in Australia, they are fully aware of this. They're ignoring all the safety signals. They're thrown away the scientific medicine and evidence-based medicine, And we've been seeing ads on TV promoting people to go and have boosters when they know all this.
But hang on, isn't the TGA being sued at the moment?
They are being sued.
There's been cases awarded. Is that millions being awarded?
Yeah, already. And at the moment, there's a vaccine injury class action which was taken out a couple of weeks ago. They've got three named applicants and they're representing 500 people. They're filing it against the Australian government, the TGA and the Department of Health. They're accusing them of negligence because of the approval and of the monitoring of the COVID vaccines. They believe...
This could cost the government a lot of money, couldn't it, and the TGA, if they found guilty.
So, Robbie, if the state government here, just let's... the state we live in, if the state government led by Daniel Andrews, who imposed the most severe restrictions in the world when this was at its height, if they come out and say and ignore all this and say, oh, the COVID has ramped up again, we're going to stop you from going outside, we're going to stop you from going 10 kilometres from your house, we're going to impose masks. If they started all this again, knowing what we know now or what you have just told us and what is a general opinion about world health, if they thumb their nose at that and just say, no, this is what we're doing here, what avenue do we have to push back on this besides being arrested by the police and told you can't go out of your house?
Well, look, what you're saying is the $64 question. We had those gigantic...
restrictions?
Protests in Canberra. There are over 1 million people at one of them. And really, that's what, in a democratic society... that's probably what we've got left, and it could well get to that. The other thing which is happening, and I'm going down a different pathway a bit, but this is really, really important. The World Health Organization have made a couple of changes, and they've put up two legal international legal instruments. One is they're altering a thing called the International Health Regulations, and the other thing is they're putting up in conjunction with this a pandemic treaty. Now, what they're doing is they're wanting all the countries in the world to sign up to give them total governing power and jurisdiction and enforcement over, would you believe it, not only pandemics and emergencies, but potential pandemics, emergencies, and... the very issues that you're talking about, the mandates, the lockdowns, they've gone to the next level, what they're proposing, which is they want to digitalise everybody's health, they want to digitalise your travel, they want to digitalise your finances, they want to have the powers to put you away if you're not a good boy. And, you know, we have to...
in light of all this evidence now coming forward.
Absolutely. And so... the average Australian citizen has got no idea that this vote on this is going to occur at the WHO next May.
Robbie.
May 24. The average person in Australia has got to say, they've got to be made aware and to tell the parliamentarians no.
So the average Australian who have all this information, despite that, if the governments of the respective states or the federal government say... you must have another jab, you must not do this, you must not do that, you can't go here. You don't have any power to push back unless you want to rebel or start a coup or start protesting, which I even didn't suggest that people protest. I said, if ever there was going to be a march up Collins Street to Parliament House about this, and then I had the police come round and say, am I thinking of starting a march? I said, no, I was just suggesting hypothetically.
So what you were suggesting was free speech, free opinion, and that seems to be disappearing in our society. Where do we go? Obviously, we approach our parliamentarians and see what sort of feedback, but then it may well mean going in the streets. I mean, we are on the edge of a cliff here. We've gone over the cliff, in fact, because, as I said, the TGA and the laws, etc., that's happened. I mean, the classic example was last week. I mean, this is staggering. Last week, they now made available the prescribing of ivermectin again.
What that? Hang on. That's unbelievable because that was what Trump was advocating.
He was advocating hydroxychloroquine.
But that's a horse drench.
That's exactly what they said. They said it was a horse drench and that it's going to cause enormous damage and it's dangerous.
And so is ivermectin, a horse drench.
No, that's what I'm speaking about, is ivermectin. They, and the whole basis of absolutely caning it was that they knew down the pathway they were going to be releasing experimental or provisional vaccines. They're gene therapies, they're not vaccines, but they were going to do that on the basis that there was no known treatment. So that's why they castigated hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Now, the interesting thing is that last week, this is staggering, but it's so important for everybody to understand what's going on. When they said that ivermectin can be prescribed again, the government said ivermectin is now unlikely now to compromise public health.
Oh, both joking.
So, yeah, you can... What? They have changed...
Just make it up, mate.
Well, but the worst part about it is they certainly compromise public health. There's hundreds of thousands of people that died who could have had ivermectin and saved their lives.
So talking about death, how many deaths are there right at this moment? None of this is coming out. I heard there was about 40 deaths a week in Victoria. Is that right from COVID?
Dying with it, not from it.
Well, we don't know.
Yes, that's right.
What do you mean?
Initially, for the first 18 months, 2 years, they basically suppressed people from having postmortems. You know, I mean, it was staggering.
It got to the stage where Dr. Ben Fordham, MD, last week said that there was a woman who was unvaccinated, was stopped from having a heart transplant because they wouldn't operate on her because she was unvaccinated. And you've just mentioned that the whole nonsense of being vaccinated. I read out all this, that this is why you're here, because I said this to Don the other day. This is what they concluded about what we had to put up with. It said the health authorities in overseas, the people who pushed back on this, said that the vaccinations couldn't stop infection, couldn't stop transmission, couldn't prevent death, couldn't quarantine the virus, couldn't make places safe without vaccine passports, couldn't stalk the virus with an app. There were severe and unexpected reactions to the vaccine. Curfews don't work. Curfews don't work. They could do more harm than good. Too much hand sanitizer is bad for the skin. Bottle shops are not safer than retail shops. Lockdowns were destructive, leading to economic, physical harm. All COVID rules were entirely pointless. The government fines were illegal and now being... They went on and on saying that all the things that are completely useless and made no sense at all.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And as I said, I'll just repeat the internationalcovidsummit.com. Is you can access the entire European Parliament summit and the experts, what you just said, they lay it down, they go through the science, the statistics, and everything you said has been exposed now, but not in Australia.
Robbie, what about this thing called long COVID? Now, I mentioned a few weeks ago a number of my female friends...
Well, it's interesting you say that because it's more than 70%.
But is it only... having an effect, the injection on female. I don't know any male friends that have got this long COVID that the females are complaining about. You know, there's a myriad of complaints that they're complaining about, and there's nothing that they know nothing about.
It's a thought to be a spike protein related disease. So you could get the spike protein either from the COVID infection. Or from...
But is it only females that seem to be getting it?
Yeah, no, 70%. The stats show that 70%.
The other thing is, I read last week about the various symptoms. Now, I've only had two injections of AstraZeneca, yet I've got this tingling in the tips of my fingers. Now, I don't know whether it's carpal tunnel Or is it a result of the COVID injection?
Could well be. The neurological sort of potential side effects of the spike protein-related disease, long COVID, could well affect, you know, one of the causes of it. They've postulated that there's an antibody formed to the ACE2 receptor. Now, the ACE2 receptors are on the lining of blood vessels, and when you form antibodies to these ACE2 receptors, you have chronic inflammation of the blood vessels. The blood vessels that supply the nerves, those nerves can be affected.
Will they come back, or is it a permanent injury?
Okay, well, look, last time I think I mentioned the frontline doctors in America, and you can look them up, FLCCC.net. They actually have a protocol, different protocols, for treating this. So what they're trying to do is to negate the side effects of the spike protein and the chronic inflammation. And if you go to the FLCCC, they've got protocols on what they're suggesting to take. And I must say that one of the protocols includes ivermectin.
Now, go on, and then I'll...
Well, I would like to also ask that, okay, more information's coming forward. Now, you were outspoken in COVID, and you were warned, you know, by the medical board to shut up or deregister, but you'd retired. Are there more doctors now aware of all of this, you know, of the mainstream, or are they still under the umbrella of the MRA and they're not allowed to speak out?
Okay, now there are more doctors
willing to speak out now.
We hope so. There's
You're hoping, or you don't know.
So no, there's an organisation called AMPS, the Australian Medical Professional Society, which is growing in numbers, and they are advocates for speaking out about the facts, which is the number one thing we want to get out. But also, you know, they're batting for the doctors that have been deregistered.
But there's tremendous intimidation by...
Enormous.
So Robbie, so this is the third time we've spoken to you, and we're cognizant of everything you're saying. And at the end of the day, if this falls on deaf ears with the Premier who runs this state, with Brett,
Sutton.
Sutton, if this falls on deaf ears and they take no notice of this, or they're ignorant of it, or they don't accept it, we are in no better position. But with all this information coming out, we are just like fish in a... We're just like pawns here to be controlled by a government which is ignorant of all this going on, if they want to use their authority and power to control us. No other option unless you want to thumb your nose at the law, and we don't like to do that because we're not by nature antisocial people.
They control the media. There's an enormous percentage of people that have no idea. They have taken hook, line and sinker the promotion of the jabs. The classic one, you mentioned Dr. Sutton. He said 3 or 4 weeks ago, I mean, it's just staggering. He said getting a booster is like charging up your iPhone battery when it goes flat. And yet he knows, like they all know, the side effects of the autoimmune damage. What we need to do, and I'm so grateful for you having me here, is to wake up the population, because we are in deep trouble where, through censorship, the facts and the figures and the science is being withheld from everybody. And, you know, in my mind, the greatest crime in mankind's history was them vaccinating people under the age of 20 when nothing was going to happen to them.
Or kids.
Kids. Nothing was ever going to happen to them. They had zero deaths unless they were born with major congenital problems. And yet they subjected them to all the potential side effects.
Shut the schools down?
Yeah. What? Look, listen to this. This is in that International COVID Summit, which, again, people should go and listen to. There was a Nordic study. This is absolutely frightening, but this is what they said. They said in these studies that males under 30 had a 1 in 50 chance of getting myocarditis. A 1 in 50 chance.
Myocarditis.
Myocarditis.
What is it, that?
Inflammation of the heart.
Oh, yep.
Now, what they also said, that when they did MRI testing on them, a half of them, which meant 1 in 100, had permanent scarring of their heart. Now, that
after the vaccination.
Yeah. Particularly the second, in fact. But what they're saying is we are going to see over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years a large percentage of the people, the young people that are our future, succumbing to heart disease, heart failure. Okay. It's a nightmare.
Now, the other thing, pub test stuff, common sense, the vaccination. Has it been improved since day one, or are we still getting the same vaccination that was available, say, 3 or 4 years ago, and there are variants of this COVID? So the original COVID is no longer in existence. We've got variation. So
vaccination keeping pace?
Yes. Are they bringing the vaccination up? And if they are, it wouldn't be going before any authority because it's a 7 to 10 year process to be approved.
Well, they've thrown that out of the window. It doesn't
what?
Exist. The 7 to 10 year process, that's gone. They brought it in as an emergency.
So are they improving the vaccines to bring them up to date with the newest?
Sam mentioned this a couple of months ago about the research and development director of Pfizer, who actually said, we're developing new strains so that we can make a jab for the new strain.
Hang on, they're developing new strains of COVID.
Yep.
Yes.
Bullshit.
No, but he got sacked for it.
No, he didn't.
Didn't he get sacked?
No.
I thought he got sacked.
Well, he just got moved sideways.
Oh, well, he because he was off mic. He was caught doing it. Not caught. They set
Project
him up.
Veritas got him.
That's right. Yeah. They set him up with a clandestine microphone, and he shouldn't have said what he said. But that's just the fact. Now, Don, we can have Robbie in for a fourth time for another update. I'm not sure we can go any further with this, Robbie.
Sure.
I'm not sure that we're happy to go further with this, but you've been front and centre with all this. You've been vindicated by what you and your medical cohorts have said. And if there's anything else that will come, you can come back for the fourth time as new information arrives. But it has been the greatest scandal, I reckon, Don, in medical history, almost.
And absolutely. And we are going to be watching the catastrophe of chronic health or worse over the next 3, 4, 5 years. One other thing which, you know, I just quickly like to say because I'm so angry about it, is, you know, I've mentioned the TGA, who are the authorities, and they've ignored all the safety signals and the scientific method and evidence-based medicine, which was released in that International COVID Summit publicly to the world. The average bear would not realise they're 85% funded by Big Pharma.
Hang on, who's funded?
The TGA are 85% funded by Big Pharma. So these are the police in charge of our health.
So it's not a government organisation.
They work for the government, but they're 85% paid by Big Pharma. This is scandalous.
Shit.
This is scandalous.
Jeez. Right. Now, Don, we appreciate Robbie Peterson, Dr. Professor MD, our next North Melbourne player, coming in and doing this, and for an enlightened view of what's going on with your health. So thank you very much again,
Thanks
Robbie.
So much, Sam. Don.
Get on your Rob.
Because you ain't treating me right. Come back and